Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Now. Yeah, come on in the Kia Studios. We're throwing our party, man, and I'm excited about a couple of things. First of all, the pennant race starts tonight, baby. It's May 1st. I'm already talking pennant race for the Braves. They get the Mets up at Citi Field.
Tonight a must-win game.
Yes. It is a regular season, postseason game. No, but I'm psyched that the what's at stake is back for the Braves. We have big games. This isn't some game against the Marlins in a 75-win season. This is a battle for first place. If we go up there and sweep the Mets, the Braves will leave. Our beloved Braves will leave in first place in the National League East. So I'm psyched about that. Also, Preacher Man and I made a grave, grave error yesterday morning.
Uh-oh.
And it went unannounced on the show because of the classiness of one Mark Owens. You see, yesterday, he wanted some Chick-fil-A sauce. Me and the Preacher Man both separately went down to Chick-fil-A, each thinking we were going to get him sauce. Neither of us came back with sauce. Mark Owens said nothing about it, and we, being super guilty, said nothing about it either, hoping that it would just go away. So I'm down at Chick-fil-A this morning. I get my my large Diet Dr. Pepper, and I'm walking out the door, and I'm thinking, I can make this right. 24 hours later, I circle back around, go to the lady. She looks at me like I have a third eye as I ask her for Chick-fil-A sauce to go with my Diet Dr. Pepper.
Yeah.
And so Mark Owens, not one, not two, but three Chick-fil-A sauce for you, my friend.
And it's funny you did that, Mark, because what does Preacher Man go down to get every morning? He goes down to get a large Diet Dr. Pepper with no ice. What did he also bring you this morning?
It doesn't matter. I've already put my transfer papers in. You're all dead to me. So,
are you serious, Preacher Man? You did the same thing?
Yeah, I did.
Can you believe we both separately, individually forgot it yesterday, and we both separately, individually remembered it today?
Well,
How about that?
I felt guilty because I forgot. You know, I had good intentions, and I get down there. We were actually talking to Tori, and it totally slipped my mind. And so when I came back up, I was like, dang. So this morning, I got my drink, and I turned back around. I said, Chick-fil-A sauce.
How many?
I only had two, so you got me by one.
All right, so you have five Chick-fil-A sauce now, Mark.
I love the guilt factor over Chick-fil-A sauce.
Well, here's what I realized. You've now envisioned me as the least trustworthy of everybody because you didn't even ask me to get you Chick-fil-A sauce. I would have brought you Chick-fil-A sauce, probably a sandwich and a fork.
No, because you're on this cockamamie diet, which you're very successful for. Don't get me wrong. You look fantastic.
Thank you.
But I don't need you stink-eyeing me with like, ugh, here's your Chick-fil-A. I can't even look at it. I can't even smell it. I held it. I got to run an extra quarter mile today because I got to go eat my dry carrots and my broccoli later on for lunch. And then for dessert tonight, I get to smell a piece of cake.
Let's not kid ourselves. There's no running. Outside of playing football for me, there's no running. I do my nine-round fitness in Lawrenceville. I'm burning anywhere between 500 and 1,000 calories. Depends on how long I stay in there. If I go the full hour, I'm gassed. Yesterday, I almost puked. They had some really tough stuff going on. And I got to the point where I had to go in the bathroom, and I was like, I don't want my lunch to be all over their floor. Didn't come up, but it was really close. And that's how you know you're working hard, Rick.
I'm about to make a transcendent move, me and Charity. We're about to join a gym.
No way.
Yep.
Not a health club, but a gym.
I almost said health club. We're about to join a gym because, John, I can't look. Yesterday I had an allergy flare up, and like literally one little particle of pollen can get up there, and it just like the next 2 hours suck. It's just like it's constantly bothering you. So Charity's like, hey, it's a beautiful day. Let's go on a walk. I kind of can't go on a walk right now with the pollen and stuff. So we are joining a gym. So I'm putting on weight, dude. As you're shedding weight, I'm putting on weight.
Now, are you doing like gym, like LA Fitness Crunch, where you're going to go in and lift and do the barbell? Or are you trying to go somewhere more of a fitness class type thing?
I'm looking for more of a country club type of gym. No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding. No, I want to walk around a track a whole bunch. I like walking, spin classes, that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. Probably eventually progress to some weights. But I'm looking to lean out, John. I'm not looking to put on bulk. I'm looking to lean out.
We were going to let that slide, but you said spin classes.
So, I don't know, if Charity wants to go to a spin class with her man, I'll go with her.
You better be in the back of the room because you'll be the one falling off bike before the session is over. They will literally almost kill you,
Rick,
if you last for the entire
thing. I have done those, and you go, oh, this is going to be easy.
Just riding a bike, right?
45 minutes on the bike, it's not easy. I'm in better cardio shape than you are.
Uh-huh.
And I got about 10 minutes in there, and both butt cheeks are cramped up. My legs are cramping. And they're like, put it to gear 15. And I'm like, I can't even move the bike on gear 15.
Now, I've never done a spinning class. Can you just do you? Like, they say to do this, but can I just, like, be me in the slow lane?
You
old
can.
Old man Rick Kamla?
You can, but they guilt the hell out of
you.
Oh,
I'm not worried about that. I'm worried about guilt with Mark Owens, not the leader of the spin class.
You say that, but when there's a 62-year-old lady that's just rocking and rolling for 45 minutes, standing the whole time, and she's pedaling the bike, and you're in the back panting on hands and knees, yeah, they're going to guilt you into going hard.
We'll see how it works out. We haven't joined the gym yet, kicking around the idea, but it sucks, man. I was in a nice little rhythm, walking with the dog about three or four times a week, burning about 300 calories a time, and then the pollen came, and I had to go inside.
And it's too cold to jet ski still, so you're not getting the thumb and ab workout.
Nope, not getting the twisty oblique workout. It's not working for me right now.
Mark Owens, now, did you just drink Chick-fil-A sauce this morning?
It's probably a bad time to put it in my toothbrush because I got a dentist appointment tomorrow. Hey, we were talking about it earlier. I do want to give a heads up. Talking about the Braves, a lot of excitement. It's just a three-game set this weekend. If you are coming out Friday, Saturday, or Sunday, get there early. Mm-hmm. I know general admission is sold out for Friday night. It is Star Wars night, which is always a big night anyway. It's a Ozzie Calrissian bobblehead night, so first 20,000 fans get that.
I need a couple of those. Can you give me a couple?
Yeah, I just need one.
Yeah, they'll be at the front gate waiting on you. And it's also Ronald Acuna's debut in Atlanta. So just, I know it's Tuesday, but go ahead and start making your plans to get out of work early and spend the day at SunTrust because it is going to be a zoo all weekend long.
Mark, Saturday, can I get 5 front row seats?
Just 5?
Yeah, just 5.
You need parking?
No, I can pay for
you
my
You want to do play
parking.
Ball or throw out the first pitch?
First pitch would be awesome. I am not racing anybody.
Me and John want to be so hooked up that when you watch the Braves game, we're the only heads you see right behind home plate. Like, every time the pitcher pitches, you see John's dome and Kamla's dome.
And I'm going to wear an Arizona Diamondbacks jersey so I can just be Diamondback guy.
You'll just see the top of John's head because he'll be playing words with friends the whole time and not really paying attention to the game.
That's really good. That's really good.
Preacher, man, you got a big one tonight, don't you?
Hey, now.
Talk about hockey.
That's what she said.
Save that one for later. Yeah, we third game of the series with the Jets. We're in Winnipeg tonight. Puck drops at 8, so you know I'll be front and center and with the TV, and hopefully you know the kids will go to bed quietly, and I won't wake them up at some point.
This game could be in Atlanta.
Well,
this game could theoretically, hypothetically be in Atlanta tonight.
No disrespect to Atlanta, but y'all had a team before you had the Jets, and you couldn't keep them either. So. I'm sorry. That's what's up.
What the f*** is going on?
The sports world never stops. So if you missed anything, Rick and John are here to tell you what's up.
What's up, Holmes?
Met him my freshman year, but I actually got with him a lot my junior year and started working out with him. And just hearing him talk and speak and just, you know, somebody so powerful and so good, it's amazing to be around a guy like that. And, you know, I'm going to soak everything up, and I'm very excited to get around him again.
That is Calvin Ridley, first-round pick of your Atlanta Falcons, talking about his relationship with Julio Jones. And I said this on draft night. There's nobody better to have a relationship with. Not only a guy that you're now going to play pro ball with, but he went to your same college. So he knows what was expected out of Nick Saban. He knows what you've been through with Nick Saban. And he's one of the elite guys in this league. You know, he's 1A or 1B, depending on which season it is between him and Antonio Brown. If Calvin Ridley could soak up half of what Julio Jones has to teach him, you've got a star in the making in your first-round pick.
I'm not trying to be shady, but there is a, I don't know, if it's an elephant in the room or something, a blemish we have to talk about. But Calvin Ridley had the dropsies a little bit at Alabama. Julio Jones has years where he catches everything and years like last year where he doesn't. Amari Cooper is one of the most drop-prone players in the NFL right now. Mm-hmm. These guys are abundantly talented. They are Hall of Fame talents. Now, Julio Jones is going to the Hall of Fame. Ridley, we don't know yet. And obviously, it doesn't look like Amari Cooper is going to be a Hall of Fame guy. Really good, maybe multiple Pro Bowls, but not a Hall of Fame guy. But there's just this thing with Alabama guys having a little bit of the dropsies in the NFL. Got me a little bit worried, but I love Calvin Ridley. I think it's going to work out.
I think that's just coincidence, and unfortunately it's three guys that have the same stigma. Let's see if Calvin Ridley and Julio Jones can correct that a little bit. coming up in 2018. Game number one of the Eastern Conference semifinals. Celtics handle the 76ers. Philadelphia shoots just 19% from downtown. When they hit their threes, they beat anybody. When they struggle like they did last night, they fall to Al Horford and Terry Rozier, of all people, for the Boston Celtics.
Terry Rozier is ready. I was talking with Sean Thompson about this in the bullpen. He is ready for a starting job in the NBA. I think he's ready to be a Kemba Walker type of guy. I think he's ready to be an all-star type guy. Comes off Boston's bench. He's electric, man. He had 29, made 7 threes last night. Al Horford is unbelievable. Anybody that thinks you can't win big with Al Horford, you just don't understand the NBA. Horford, 26 points last night, made 10 of 12 shots. And, John, that weird, he's got the legs kind of spread apart. He kind of catapults that thing. That weird-looking shot goes down. It's money every time. But here's the thing. Philly, a week off. Everybody congratulating them. They're feeling great. They're feeling themselves. And, by the way, they're getting out of rhythm and getting a little rusty. Bam, Boston comes off a 7-game series. They're fresh. They're in rhythm. And here's the most amazing thing. Boston wins last night without Jaylen Brown.
Right.
That's not a good look for Philly. I still think Philly's winning the series.
I got the Celtics in 7 in this one. I just think the grit and the coaching of Brad Stevens will take them through. Travis Schlenk was on with the morning show. He talked about going through the list of coaches here for Atlanta.
No, I mean, listen, we haven't put, like, we're going to have a coach by this date. I mean, I think that would be very short-sighted and not the best move for us. But, you know, as this has been reported, we're at it, man. We've met with 4 guys already. You know, we're meeting with somebody else afternoon. Probably going to meet with a couple more guys tomorrow.
That's him talking about who the coaches are going to be. Apparently have already interviewed 4, set to be number 5 sometime today.
So Travis also told the morning guys that he really broke down the coaching search, and he told us and last week in the presser it was going to be head coaches and assistant coaches. Well, I think based on what I heard this morning, it's going to be an assistant coach promoted to head coach. He said he wants more priority on development, really, than anything else, that he wants the coach to be positive. So, in other words, developing guys, positive approach, right. Good culture. You know, they know they're not going to be winning big next year. It's another rebuilding year. So that's what Schlenk wants for the new head coach.
Elsewhere, the Braves hope they can be winning big tonight. It's going to be Sean Newcomb on the hill against Noah Syndergaard, 7-10 first pitch in New York against the first-place Mets. Suddenly, the Braves are a team that could conceivably come out of this weekend in first place, or out of this stretch with the Mets in first place. It's been a long road trip, but they're playing some tremendous baseball right now.
If Sean Newcomb and Mike Foltynewicz, and Folty is like a 2.53 ERA, so he's in a little bit different group. But Newcomb's been solid this year. It's been a little up and down, but he's handling his business, I think, striking a bunch of guys out. And, John, if we had the best lineup in the National League, but if Folty had a 4.7 ERA and if Newcomb had a 5.1 ERA, I wouldn't be that excited about our Braves, right? But Folty's pitching well. McCarthy and you know, Tehran, you know, hopefully we can get that thing on track. But the fact that we finally have a little bit of traction with some of these prospect pitchers, Folty and Newcomb, I'm feeling great about it. And you know what, John? I think Newcomb is going to realize and rise to the occasion. You're in New York at Citi Field, a bunch of guys yelling at you. You got Syndergaard on the other side, and it's a series for first place. I think Newcomb is going to rise to the challenge tonight.
It's fun. Came up last June, and then more guys kept coming. Danju's already here, but it's been fun. I mean, we're winning. We got a lot of young guys here, and we got a lot of good chemistry, so it's been fun.
That's Sean Newcomb talking about the start for the Braves, and he'll have a big one tonight. I do think he comes up big, and he was pitching well against Cincinnati until the strike zone got squeezed. Then he gave up a 3-run homer and got a no decision. Hey, we take a break. We come back. We got an interesting debate. It's up on Twitter, at RickandJohn929, at 92.9 The Game, and at JohnMichaels929 is the original poll that's up. But we're going to ask this question to you guys. What side of the ball do you think has a better chance to be elite for the Falcons in 2018? We'll debate the offense and the defense next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and 92.9thegame.com.
This is one of the best things that have ever happened to me. I have my family. My mom stays in Fort Lauderdale. It's really easy to get here. My brother's in Georgia. And, man, and then you got Julio. I can learn from Julio. I know Shark, and I know the offense, and it's just going to be the best thing for me. And I'm just going to come in and work. I'm going to prove everybody wrong, and I mean that.
That's Calvin Ridley. Brand new wide receiver for our Atlanta Falcons. Calvin Ridley is mitigating my concerns about the tight end position because we now have 3 wide receivers. We have a 3 wide receiver set. We didn't have that last year. So at least we have that. That is making me feel better about things. Rick and John here in the Kia Studios. And we're talking Falcons right now. We want you to hop on John's poll on his personal Twitter account. We're talking about either side of the ball here. And in just a few minutes, we're going to unveil this week's musical poll as well.
We are, but right now our Vision Computers Twitter poll at Rick and John 929 is pretty simple. Which side of the football do you think has a better chance of being elite for the Atlanta Falcons? There's only two choices. It's offense or it's defense. I was sitting here thinking, I was actually listening to Jeff Benedict last night coming home from flag football. We didn't end until like 11:45 last night. So I was listening to him, and he had a good debate going about the quarterback and coach combination. I started thinking on the Falcons. I said, man, with this top 100 list coming out, and they revealed, I think, 100 through 91 last night, how many Falcon players could be on that list first and foremost? And then I started thinking, I said, which side of the ball has a chance of being more elite? Falcons were in the top 10 both offensively and defensively last year, but I wouldn't say that either group was elite. I think they were both above average in the NFL, but that was it. Offense was elite 2 years ago. Defense was dreadful, got better as the year progressed. But last year you saw a defense as the season went along that you counted on to win football games. You could argue the defense won the playoff game against the LA Rams, holding that team down. The defense kept you in the game against Philadelphia when your offense was sputtering. So you ask, you know, which group is more elite? I think it's a tough question right now, and judging by the results real quickly on Twitter, it's not that far apart. Actually, right now the offense pulling away with over 200 votes in about 45 minutes. 59% are saying the offense has a better chance of being elite. 41% say the defense. What says you, Rick Hamlin?
I say offense. You lost Dontari Poe. You lost Adrian Claiborne. You know, we replaced Dontari Poe with a third-round pick who we think is going to be terrific and a great fit with Grady Jarrett. We don't know that yet. Mm-hmm. He's a prospect. I've read some talent evaluators look at him as a rotational defensive tackle, not a, you know, stalwart of your defensive line. But they're not Dan Quinn. And Dan Quinn is the defensive line guru, and so I defer to his wisdom with that. But to me, I think this defense is going to be really good. I think it's going to be a top 10 defense. I think Tack is going to take the next step. Hopefully we get more out of Duke Riley this year. I think Isaiah Oliver is going to be a great addition to the secondary. I love our defense. And I think it's going to be better. I think it's going to be top 10. But this offense, now that they have Calvin Ridley, I think has a chance to get back hovering around 30 points per game. Hell, I would settle for 28 points a game. So I say offense. I think we have a better chance to be elite on the offensive side of the ball.
You can get on board the Vision Computers Twitter poll brought to you by Vision Computers, where if you need help with tech support, it's less than 15 seconds away. At Rick and John 929, at 929 The Game is where you follow us on social media. I'm going to take the other side of the ball. I'm going to take defense. And it's very tough for me to go this route because I think the natural star power is on the offensive side of the ball. Julio Jones, you can argue, is he the best or the second best receiver in the league? Third best if you really want to have an argument with DeAndre Hopkins. But Julio's in that conversation as one of the elite players at his position. Matt Ryan's just 1 year removed from winning the MVP. And Devontae Freeman and Tevin Coleman are a really good combination in the backfield. But there are some major questions about the offensive line. Yes, you have your solidified who's going to be your starters, but this was a group a year ago that, let's be honest, they struggled. You have questions about the tight end position that you've been asking. Can Austin Hooper take a next step? The reason I'll take the defense is this. Think about the guys here that were brought in, handpicked for this system. Grady Jarrett, Tack McKinley, Vic Beasley, Dedrin Sinat. All of your front four were handpicked for this situation. They signed Brooks Reed in the offseason a couple of years ago. Jack Crawford brought in as a rotation guy. Derek Shelby brought back as a rotation guy. Your linebackers, strictly drafted by Dan Quinn, fast, athletic guys. Deion Jones, a budding superstar in this league. Devondre Campbell, who far has exceeded his draft status. And Duke Riley, again, we have questions of what he can do. Then in the secondary, I know Desmond Trufant was brought in and Robert Alford from the previous regime, but you have two above-average corners. I won't call either one of them elite, but I won't call either one of them bust. They're both above-average corners as starters in this league. Keanu Neal, personally brought in by Dan Quinn. Rico Allen moved to safety under Dan Quinn. And now you add an Isaiah Oliver. You've got a DeMonte Casey, Brian Poole. You bring in Justin Bethel. You still have some of your jack-of-all-trades guys, Leroy Reynolds and Kamal Ishmael, to provide depth. I look this year in the secondary and say, all right, I'm not going to see C.J. Goodwin out there. I'm not going to see, Akeem King getting minutes. I'm probably not going to see a whole lot of Bleedy Ray Wilson unless we're in like seven, a seven defensive back package. because this group was handpicked by this regime, I think the growth now, third year for a lot of these players, fourth for some of them. I'm going to go with the defense. I think the defense has a chance to be top five this year.
I agree with everything you said, but I think that in terms of some of the replacements that are necessary on that side of the ball, I think it limits their upside a little bit. But I could see, you know, if we were nine last year, getting up to five or getting up to four, I could see our offense returning to being the greatest show on turf 2.0. And you mentioned questions on the offensive line. I don't really have those questions. I think Lavitre is going to come back and be solid as a rock. I know that we're fantastic at LT center and RT with Matthews and Mack and Schrader respectively. Right guard. There were a lot of breakdowns at right guard last year with Schweitzer, and he just wasn't good enough. And to me, you know, if 80% of your line is rocking and rolling and 20% of it isn't, that's a problem. And I believe that Fusco is going to remedy that. And it doesn't make you feel good. This team did not draft an offensive lineman. That tells you how they feel about Fusco and how they feel about Lavitre. And then that second layer behind them with the Garlands and the Harlows and the Schweitzers and stuff like that. I think the offensive line, I said this before the Super Bowl run season, and Arch was in here, and he wasn't really buying what I was selling, but I just liked the construction of the offensive line. I said, Arch, do you think this offensive line has a chance to be one of the better units in the NFL? And I'm not calling out Arch, and I'm not trying to take a whole bunch of credit. Oh, I called it. I really didn't, but I liked the construction of it. I thought it had upside, and I had optimism for it. And I feel the same way about this offensive line this year, whereas last year, okay, just gripping and holding on tight. We got a brand new green raw right guard. How's this going to go? We have a veteran at that spot now. So I think the offensive line is going to be fine, and I think it's going to enable the offense to be maybe elite, as we're talking about.
And I hope you're right, because if the offense gets back to being elite, what we've seen for teams to win a Super Bowl, you've got to be elite on one side of the ball or the other. Patriots have been elite on offense for a long time, and sometimes it's kind of drugged the defense along. Philly was elite on defense going through most of the season, and they were pretty good or above average to really good on offense. And then they got in the playoffs, and they just couldn't miss. You know, their one bad game was against the Falcons offensively, and they got a little bit fortunate that Keanu Neal booted an interception right before half and let them back in the football game. But typically, you got to be elite on one side of the ball or the other.
No doubt about it, dude. Look, our team is in great shape. We can analyze the draft. And, you know, later on in the show at noon, I believe that our Falcons are mishandling the undrafted free agent market. I believe that we have already mishandled it, okay? A lot of guys that I feel could really have helped us in an undrafted capacity are already signed with other teams. I'm not happy about it. We're going to get into that at noon. Also, John, at the top of the hour, I want to sort of infuse into our conversation Vegas is over-under on win totals for our Falcons. It is a rather low number, if you ask me.
And coming up at 11, I'm also going to infuse another part of this equation with the offense and the defense, and we'll see how that works out. But we want to ask you guys something. We always do our Vish Computers poll with musical choices for Friday. And we didn't put it up yesterday, so we're going to put it up today. And it's going to be a little different. I've heard some complaints that you guys are just trying to ram EDM down our throat and make us vote for that. So we're going to give EDM a one-week reprieve.
All we're trying to do, the Washington Generals are 0 for infinity.
Right.
All we're trying to do is get the Washington Generals a win. That's all we're trying to do. And we all kind of do like EDM up in here. But that's all we're trying to do. We're trying to get the Washington Generals in the winner's circle.
I really like the new song, Calvin Harris and Dua Lipa, One Kiss, is actually a good song. By June, I won't like it because it's playing every 3 minutes on every station in town.
Are you already there with God's Plan?
Oh, I've been there. Oh,
like, great song. Extraordinary song.
That comes on now, I just switched the channel.
I will say this. I like the, you know, M.O. plays his bumper music, the bleep, 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 bleep. You know, the little jingle at the beginning or whatever it is. It's a great song. It's played out for me right now.
It's super played out for me. So this week we've decided to do something different, and Mark's putting the poll up right now at Rick and John 929. We are each taking our favorite artists and putting them up for vote. Rick Kamla, who are you putting up for vote on the Rick and John Vision Computer Twitter poll?
Like Dan Quinn and Thomas Dimitroff, not overthinking it by taking Calvin Ridley. I'm taking the Disco Biscuits.
All right. No surprise.
No surprise.
Disco Biscuits are up for nomination for Rick Kamla. John Michaels
and
also.
They will not win.
No surprise. And I don't think my favorite artist will win, but he is Miami's own, the biggest boss, Ricky Ross. So we'll put Rick Ross up for vote. Preacher Man or Mark Owens, which way are we going next? Mark, do you have it set for you or him? This will be Mark Owens.
Listen, no way in hell this one's going to win, but King George, baby, kicking off Friday with George Strait.
Well, there's a lot of sandbagging going on in here with our favorite bands maybe winning this musical bowl.
I think Paul has 60% or more of the vote this week.
With?
Yeah, that'd be AC/DC.
So, the musical poll is up. It's AC/DC versus Disco Biscuits versus Rick Ross versus George Strait.
There
King
it is.
George.
Hey, don't forget the $1,000 National Signing Bonus Contest returns next week on Monday, May the 7th. Tune in for the code word 9 minutes after each hour between 7 a.m. and 7 p.m. Monday through Friday. You're going to have 12 chances to win per day. Next week, it's back, the $1,000 National Signing Bonus Contest. We read between the lines next, Mark Owens.
He's got five rings worth $180 million, the face of the franchise, but still fills
the game.
I'm Rick Kamla, and what's left of my street cred. We're in the Kia of Studios, me and my boy John Michaels. We're hanging out, Preacher Man and M.O. behind the glass here, and watch 92.9thegame.com. That's how you can check us out doing our thing. Falcons talk at the top of the hour. We get back into that. But right now, dude, it's time to read between the lines.
I do have a new nickname now for Rick Kamla. It's S-C-K. S-C-K.
Spin Class Ricky.
Spin Class Kamla.
S-C-K.
Uh-huh.
After that, you're going to do some jazzercise?
With my jazz hands?
He's going to do some boot camp?
He's going to go rent the Buns of Steel DVD.
Jane Fonda, pull that VHS tape out.
Can I explain to you
that leotard on?
Any sort of physical activity that causes me to perspire is a good thing for me.
Okay. During the first commercial break of the show, Johnny and Tricky Ricky come back here to me and Paul's side on the other side of the glass, and they're talking about, Rick's like, I'm serious. You know, I got to get in shape. We're rooting for you. John Michael says, every commercial break, 10 push-ups, go!
And?
What you should have said is, one commercial break, 8.5 push-ups, red-faced!
I did 10.
My form was pretty good. I did not touch my nose to the floor because I don't know where the floor has been.
Yeah.
And
right?
You can see a picture of these two getting their workout on it. Rick
did you really
John
take a picture of us doing push-ups?
I'm right, I did. Come on now.
That's a good job by you, actually.
Thank you very much. I give credit.
Busted.
Johnny Michaels got some good form. Ricky, we've got defibrillators on hold.
Okay. Let's read between the
lines. But John said, let's do this during every break. I go, let's not.
Every
let's not.
Break.
I did 10. I'm good. I'm spent.
Preacher Man, by the way, already running away. AC/DC, 52%.
I'm so glad you brought that up. Okay, so we all think AC/DC is going to win. Our musical poll this week, at Rick and John 929. Preacher Man, AC/DC, M.O. George Strait, me, Disco Biscuits, John Rick Ross. We all know who's going to win. So the question is, who's going to finish last?
Disco Biscuits.
Disco Biscuits.
Damn, Paul.
George Strait.
Oh.
Ooh, that's you know fighting words right there.
I'm going to do a mashup of both of them. Disco Strait.
I just had to get a little
George
shady
Biscuits
right there.
All right, let's get to it. Sonny Michel was on with Dukes and Bell yesterday. Good interview. 92.9thegame.com to hear it. Here is Sonny Michel talking about getting the call from Robert Kraft and his thoughts overall on playing for the Patriots.
I was home with my family. Nothing too major. Just immediate family. Just watching the draft like everybody else and kind of got that phone call. And for some reason, I guess it happened unknowingly. So I couldn't put the initials with the state. So it kind of was like, dang, who's calling me? So when I answered, that's when Mr. Kraft was on the phone. Told me he's meeting the Patriots and stuff. So, I mean, it's a very prestigious organization. It's well respected, as we all know. It's just something about the Patriots that stands out from the rest of the teams in the NFL. You know, just off of their history. And so, you know, just watching from afar, you know, it kind of, you know, I just have to say I'm happy that I'm a part of this.
Okay,
program.
Stop. I can't listen to it anymore. Sony, good for you. You're going to New England. You're going to the evil empire. And there's a very, very simple explanation for why New England is that way, why you perceive them that way. It's called jewelry.
Yep.
Look, I'm going to explain. John and I are going to do draft winners and losers at 12:20 in our NFL Bounce. Look, I wish Chubb and Michelle well. I think New England whiffed. I would not have taken Michelle over Darius Geis or Ronald Jones Jr. I would have not taken Bradley Chubb over Darius Geis or Ronald Jones Jr.
Or so, Nick Chubb.
What? Who did I say? Did
Bradley
I say Bradley Chubb?
Chubb?
I get those guys confused. Look, I love them. I wish them well. I think they're good picks. I would not have taken either Michelle or Chubb over Darius Geis or Ronald Jones Jr. Would you have?
No, although I do think Sony Michel is a perfect fit in the New England offense.
If they give him the ball.
I mean, he's going to be in and out. It's what New England does. Nobody's going to be out there for 30 touches a game. Or if they do it 1 week, you won't say that again for a couple of weeks. I just laughed at Sony Michel didn't know the area code of Boston. Not that I would have either. Unless it would have popped up on my phone that said Boston, Massachusetts. Like yesterday, I got Immokalee, Florida, which, by the way, was a telemarketer.
Was it really? What a coincidence.
It was not Deidre Sinat's family calling me to talk about that. But more, read between the lines with M.O.
Travis Link was on with the morning show today. Here he is talking about being in a tough situation, as he was with Coach Bud.
From our standpoint, it became tough. You know, that's a tough situation to put a team in where, you know, your head coach is obviously talking to other teams, and, you know, we gave him that right.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, we made the decision after a lot of long conversations that it was probably in best interest in both of us to start fresh. And that's what we did. So, you know, could we have waited around? Sure, we could have. But, you know, there's candidates out there that, you know, if we're going to go down this road, we wanted to talk to. And it became clear that some of those guys might be gone. But we wanted the opportunity to get out there and start our search. So we made the decision it was, you know, in the best interest of the Hawks to get out there and start talking to people as opposed to wait around and see if we could get some sort of compensation back.
If I read between the lines of what Travis Schlink's saying there, first of all, it was a little bit embarrassing for the Hawks to see their head coach parading around, going to a bunch of different places. And second of all, somebody that they had their eye on just in case. Remember, he told us he had a list, a contingency plan. He was afraid that guy was going to be gone.
Well, why is it embarrassing if the Hawks gave him permission? You know what I'm saying?
It's still your head coach trotting around basically saying, I'm not interested in being here anymore. I'm more interested in talking to Phoenix or New York or wherever else it may be.
What he said right there about could have waited around, you kind of can't, because, John, you can't interview other head coaching candidates while you still have a guy under contract.
Mm-hmm.
You can't do it. It's a terrible look.
Right.
How many times have you heard Jeff Van Gundy complain about that during an ABC or ESPN broadcast? Like, it's just one of the cardinal sins of the whole coaching bit in the NBA. Also, I want to clean up I don't know if I made a mistake yesterday, but I don't know if I was clear enough. I said that per the AJC, Bud is going to get all of the money. There was no negotiated buyout where he left a little on the table. He is going to, Tony Ressler is on the hook for all of that money, $13-plus million, unless Coach Bud gets another job. And then that, let's say Bud takes another job and he's making $3 million a year over 3 years. Okay, just simple math. 3 years times three is $9 million. To the best of my knowledge, that would shave $9 million off of what they owe Coach Bud. I don't know all of the workings, but there's an offset related with that.
Mm-hmm.
So there is, it is exactly like you get a divorce and you want your ex-wife to get remarried. Okay, so you get to stop paying alimony and or child support at that point. It's the exact same thing for Travis Schlink. He wants Bud to get the highest priced job that he possibly can, because that will reduce the amount of money that the Hawks are on the hook to pay Coach Bud.
Comparison hits a little close to home. Just
a little bit.
A little close to home. Read between lines, all brought to you by our buddies at Inspire Medical Systems. I'm sorry for going back up to New England. But we teased it. We got to get to it. I have absolutely no sympathy for Tom Brady. Five rings worth $180 million. The face of the franchise. But he had a one-on-one with Jim Gray at the Milken Institute Global Conference and was asked, hey, Tom Brady, do you feel appreciated by the Patriots?
Do you feel appreciated by them? And do they have the appropriate gratitude for what you have achieved?
I plead the fifth. Look, Man, that is a tough question. Yeah, I mean,
your wife seems to indicate.
Yeah. I think everybody in general wants to be appreciated more at work.
Oh my God. Mm-hmm. Oh my God. No, you had to play that sound. Dude, the immediate response should be, of course, right? The immediate knee-jerk response should be, of course I'm appreciated. You know, I mean, we've done this together. We built this. It's all up. Oh my God. Oh, my God. I mean, oh, my God. Can you believe that it's like that? Dude, that is one of the most telling sound bites we've ever heard. He and Belichick clearly hate / don't like each other.
Either way, Tom Brady confirmed he is coming back for 2018 for anybody that was questioning that. We'll take a break. We'll come back. We're going to get back to the conversation with your phone calls, 404-741-0929. Text as well on our Solomon Brothers Diamond text line. I'm bringing into a different part of the equation why I think the defense will be more elite than the offense this year. It's coming up next, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and 92.9 The Game.
We want you to hop on John's poll on his personal Twitter account.
It's 11 a.m. in the ATL, and you're listening to Rick and John on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Welcome back to our midday party. Rick Hamlin, John Michaels laughing, just rolling through a Tuesday, man, talking sports, doing what we do. And a little bit of hijinks as well. Now, we're going to get back into this conversation and holla at the preacher man if you would like to join your boys Rick and John. 404-741-0929. Which side of the ball do you think has a better chance to be elite in 2018? So that's definitely on the platter. But, John, I have basically a foolproof investment opportunity for Falcons and or NFL fans who might be listening.
Oh, no.
Las Vegas has set the over-under for wins for our Falcons at 9. Okay, I don't see how you can lose this one. If we bottom out and kind of sort of underachieve, whatever word you want to put on it, it's 9 wins. You push and you get your money back. This is a double-digit win football team, barring several acts of God, at which point you shrug your shoulders and you say, we'll get him in 2019. And you all know what those acts of God are. I just don't see how the Falcons don't either get to 9 or 10 or 11. And, John, I'm probably looking at our Falcons as an 11-5 team right now. 10-6, 11-5, I'd probably just go ahead and push the chips in the middle and go 11-5. Do you agree with me? In 9 to me, so Vegas has seen us go from 11 wins to 10 wins, to winning the division, to being a wild card. And I think they see the trajectory of us continuing to fall. I don't share that perception of our team. Maybe I'm too close to our beloved Atlanta Falcons. But I vehemently disagree with, and New Orleans is 9.5, by the way. Saints fans, you may look at that as a glorious investment opportunity. But I'm retired. I'm on the sideline. But if you're in the game, I would think that Falcons over at 9 wins would be a very, very good investment opportunity.
I do as well, but every time I hear one from anybody that this one seems too good to be true, it normally is. I just hear Steve Merrill of Covers.com going, don't do it, don't do it. Now, I think we will win more than 9 games, full disclosure. I think we will win the division this year, full disclosure. But Vegas doesn't build those casinos off of this is an easy win.
I would Preacher Man's taking phone calls right now because we're going to get interactive with you. Maybe I'll just hit up Steve Merrill on Twitter. Hey, do you like the Falcons over-under number? Because we love tapping into his handicapping expertise. But, John, I just wanted to get that out there. I just think that's a bad number. And we have a double-digit win football team. Unless, like, several guys – I don't even want to say the word. Okay, acts of God. I'm just saying. Like, I think 9 is very, very low. I think it's very low.
Mark Owens, you are going to Vegas sometime in July,
it's
correct?
It's booked.
Okay, everything's taken care of. So last year, we all handed you some juice boxes,
yes,
and you
sir.
Put some stuff on the line out in Vegas.
Yes, sir.
Are we wrong to all go in on the over-under for the Falcons, or because we're too close to it, we shouldn't touch it?
Oh, no, I'd go for it. Because the return, even on – you don't have to do the side prop bet, parlay, even if you want to throw – 50 juice boxes down on over-under wins, or 50 on taking the division, that's still going to pay you back. You don't have to be so much of a homer and be like, I think they're going to win the Super Bowl. Like, when I'm out there, it'll be post-All-Star break, so you better believe I'll figure out where the Braves are at that point, put some money on them on either the wild card or maybe the East.
Hey, since we're talking about juice boxes, how long do you think Knox Bardeen is going to slow pay me the juice boxes that he owes me?
I'm going to say till about 1 o'clock.
What's the over-under on – do we have him today?
Yeah, he's coming in at 1.
Is it the weekly Barbershop Bicker Fest at 1 o'clock?
It is.
Preacher Man, do you think – because he's on your list and he's on mine now for slow paying the juice boxes.
He's always on my list.
Well, do you think Knox Bardeen is going to make it right or continue to slow pay me through his segment?
I think he'll make it right.
During his segment.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Okay.
I would bet on that.
I hope you're right. So my pocket will get a little puffier?
It will be.
With juice boxes?
Yeah.
After he's here? All right, so you wanted to downshift on our topic here.
We're going to get back to this. We're asking the question. Right now, our Vision Computers Twitter poll up at Rick and John 929. Which side of the ball do you think has a better chance to be elite for the Falcons in 2018? And understand, there's still some tweaks that can come to the roster there's going to be some post-June 1 moves. I know SB Nation, the Falcoholic, we're talking about veteran defensive tackles that can be added. Two guys that we've mentioned, Ataba Rubin and Courtney Upshaw being there. But right now, almost 300 votes in about an hour and a half. Offense at 58% to be elite. Defense at 42%. I wanted to add another reason for the defense that I think the defense has a better chance to be elite. Who do you trust more, Marquand Manuel or Steve Sarkisian?
I mean, really?
Yes.
You're going to take me there.
That's part of the
You're
equation.
You're going to cause me to get, I trust Marquand Manuel more than Steve Sarkisian.
Mm-hmm.
But I trust Steve Sarkisian. I want to trust Steve Sarkisian. Mm-hmm. I have hope and trust that he's going to be improved in year two.
Yes.
Like, I'm needle up. I'm glass half full. It's a bright, sunny day. Okay, I'm not one of these guys. And John and I did our best to defend Sark, even through the undulations of the last season. I'm hanging in there with him, man. Mm-hmm. I really am. I think the Calvin Ridley ad. Guys and girls, what did you expect with Mohamed Sanu as your second wide receiver without really having even a third wide receiver? What did you expect?
Well, you expect
Austin Hooper, you know, we expected more out of him. He is who he is. He's just a guy. He's a decent tight end in the NFL. We did not have the weaponry to have a 30-point-per-game offense last year, in my opinion.
See, I think we did. The only position that was downgraded significantly from 2016 was right guard, and that was Chris Chester turning into Wes Schweitzer / Ben Garland.
Well, but hold on a second, because Taylor Gabriel gave us 7 total touchdowns in the Super Bowl year. And how many did he have last year?
I think one.
One?
Yeah, but it's the same player. My point is, it's the same guy.
But my point is that 6 less touchdowns. That's 36 less points. Let's divide that by 16. That's over 2 points per game from one guy.
Mm-hmm.
So now we have Calvin Ridley in that spot, who I believe is going to catch 7 or 8 touchdowns. I think he's going to be about 50.
Wow, you're going that high with him,
I think he's, maybe that's a little high, but I think he's going to go about 50 grabs, 750 yards, 5, 6, 7 touchdowns. The year after that, maybe a grand. The year after that, maybe 1,200. You see, the stepping stones that a guy takes, especially when you're not the guy. He's the third guy. But I think he's going to have a huge impact on this offense.
I think he will as well. Boy, if he catches 7 or 8 touchdowns, we're going to be going back to the Super Bowl, because that means everybody's going to be wide open all over the field. I do think Calvin Ridley obviously is an upgrade over Taylor Gabriel. But I thought last year it was sort of misuse of some of the characters, and that's why I bring it up, and I do think the defense will be better. Marquand Manuel was given less talent in year one as a coordinator than Steve Sarkisian was. This was year two of Keanu Neal and Deion Jones and Devondre Campbell, Vic Beasley being miscast sometimes as a linebacker instead of a rusher.
I don't agree with that.
You thought the defense was more talented than the offense a year ago.
I told you guys before the season I thought the defense was going to be better than the offense. I didn't think we had enough at wide receiver last year, and it proved out, and we didn't. And that's why you go get a Calvin Ridley to make that right. Nick Williams and Justin Hardy and Marvin Hall and Reggie Davis and Taylor, that's not good enough. That's not good enough.
When you got Julio and Sanu, it should be.
But it wasn't.
Those other guys should be open, and they weren't. And I don't know if it's play calling. I don't know if it's lack of execution, under-executing, as they talked about.
And we had drops.
But that's why I look at the defense this year, another year under their belt. Like, you're almost helping me with my argument. Another year under the belt with the talent they have and a fiery guy like Marquand Manuel leading them. I'm saying top 5 defense in 2018, even with the loss of Adrian Claiborne and Dontari Poe.
I'm cool with all that. I can't say that Marquand Manuel had less to work with than Steve Sarkisian. I don't believe that. You had Adrian Claiborne. You had Dontari Poe. You had a rock star defense. I really think you did. Marquand did a great job with that defense, but I definitely disagree that he had less talent than Sark did.
Let's go to the phones, 404-741-0929. You guys can text as well, Solomon Brothers Diamond text line, same number. Let's go to John Paul. He wants to talk about the Falcons. Which side, John Paul, do you think has a better chance to be elite?
Hey, guys, thanks for taking my call. First off, I'm going to say I think there's a great chance that both the defense and the offense are going to be elite. But if I had to pick one, it's going to be the offense, and here's why. Matt Ryan had a down year for him, and throughout his career, he's never had back-to-back down years. I think he's going to bounce back great. Julio Jones had a down year for him, and moreover, he didn't have a preseason. He's healthy. He's going to have all the practices over the summer and get all those reps that he missed last year. Moreover, Rick, you were just talking about acts of God. An act of God last year was all the freakish deflection interceptions mm-hmm. that happened, that signing drives, that stop points that were, you know, sometimes 14-point turnovers. That's why I think that the offense has the better chance, because it was very flukish a lot of the times that happened here. And then you add the continuity of some of our O-line members in their second year and Calvin Ridley.
Hey, John Paul, let me ask you a question. Were you named after the bass player in Led Zeppelin, John Paul Jones?
No, sir. I was actually named after the Pope, John Paul.
I understand. John Paul, we really appreciate the call, man. And, John, we got not one, but two moreovers mm-hmm. from my guy, John Paul. That was a heady phone call, dude, and he's right. That's another reason why. And, look, John Paul made a great point early on. And I think you would agree with this, John. We have a very good chance to have an elite offense and elite defense.
Absolutely.
And win a Super Bowl. Okay, so I'm with that. We're splitting hairs here on, you know, side versus side. But that's what we do in sports talk radio. But in terms of the drops, if we just remedy that, how many more points are we going to be putting up on the board? Like at least a field goal a game. I'm just stabbing at a number. But those drops definitely kept us off the scoreboard.
Well, and I think to his point, the fluky turnovers. How many times you got a drive going and the ball hits a guy somewhere and it's deflected, or a defensive lineman tips it in the air and it's intercepted? And you look at Matt Ryan, you go, 20 touchdowns, 12 interceptions. That's pitiful.
Yep.
I think we chronicled seven of those were on tip balls that hit guys in the hands and ended up getting picked off. So if he has five interceptions instead of 12, or just split the difference, okay, make it where he has nine interceptions, takes three off the board, and add two more touchdowns. If he goes 22 touchdowns and nine interceptions, the offense looks a heck of a lot better a year ago, because you probably add on another 200 or 300 yards worth of total offense.
Bingo, John. But 22 touchdowns is not even close to good enough, right?
No.
I mean, it's not even close. Matt Ryan needs to be, and it's not all on him. I'm not putting this on Matt Ryan. Matt Ryan needs to be a 30-touchdown guy. He needs to be 42, 43, 4,500 yards and 30 touchdowns. That is the expectation for me next year. You're going to get, what, two or three receiving touchdowns out of Coleman. Mm-hmm. You're going to get two or three receiving touchdowns out of Devontae Freeman. You're going to get five or six out of Mohamed Sanu. You're probably going to get five or six out of Calvin Ridley. Probably going to get four or five out of Hooper. The key is Julio Jones, bro. That is what's keeping Matt Ryan's touchdown number down, the fact that Julio had three. If Julio can get to eight or nine, which is a nice solid number, you're scoring every other week at that point. Matt Ryan's a 30-touchdown guy, and we have an offense that's probably racking up 28, 29, 30 points a game.
What's crazy, Julio's only had 3 years out of his seven or eight in the NFL that he's had eight or more. His rookie year, he had eight touchdowns. His second year, he had 10, and he had eight in 2015. He's had 2, 6, 6, and 3. That is something that is one of the great mysteries in the history of the NFL, how you have arguably the best wide receiver in all of football and an upper-level quarterback in Matt Ryan, and they just can't figure out how to get these guys in the end zone.
Did it make sense to you back in the day that the Minnesota Vikings would go an entire half without targeting Randy Moss deep?
It's ridiculous.
Did that make any sense to you or anybody else?
Nope.
Well, these are two of the grand mysteries among all-time great wide receivers. The fact that you can't get a jump ball or a back shoulder in the end zone effectively to Julio Jones, and the fact that and people rip Randy Moss for taking his helmet and going to the locker room and taking his ball and going home, whatever. When you are a superstar like Randy Moss, one of the 20 most talented players ever to play, maybe one of the 10 most talented players ever to play, and your offense ignores you for an entire – what do you expect, right? Mm-hmm. Do big men in the NBA continue to rebound and block shots if they never get the rock the whole game?
No,
you
got to
feed the big fella, man.
Let's take another call here at 404-741-0929. Robin wants to sound off. Robin, what side of the ball do you think has a better chance to be elite?
Well, I think both definitely have a chance this year. I'm a little concerned about the lines on both sides of the ball. I wish we'd address that a little bit more. But in the offense, what I would like to see to make us truly elite this year that we didn't have last year is multiple options in the individual plays. You know, a couple of years ago, if the number one option wasn't there, there was a guy there at two, there was a guy there at three, and Matt was getting to him with a three count, with a four count. And we didn't have that last year. We saw that, you know, he was standing back in the pocket. If the first guy wasn't there, he's trying to force it in. Therefore, we saw a lot of drops. And so that's what I'd like to see out of this year. I don't know if you guys agree with that.
That's all. Those are all great points. And you know, I don't.
I'm
know
with
the
you, Robin.
I don't know the intricacies of every play. I know there's going to be multiple options off of every play. I don't care who the offensive coordinator is.
I just want to make one point on that. Let's not cut the field in half on the season. You know, the climactic play of the season on fourth down against Philly. Let's not cut the field in half.
I don't ever need to see a half roll again. Just saying. Take a break. We come back. The Braves have a big set coming up on the road today. We're going to break down what they need to do against the Mets. It's coming up next. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, and watch 92.9thegame.com.
News from the AL to the NL, and most importantly, our Atlanta Braves.
Play ball!
This is your MLB Breakdown with Rick and John.
And his first day is rifled deep to right field on the first pitch. A leadoff homer for Albies. Unbelievable.
Brian Snitker's got to be smiling down there.
He's a genius.
Chip Carey, Joe Simpson, the fabulous TV play-by-play group for our Atlanta Braves. Big shout-out to Kelsey Wingert as well. Really, really a good crew. I watch a lot of baseball, and they are one of the top crews in the nation. Really national broadcasters doing local work for our Braves for Fox South. So shout-out to them. They're all friends of this program, The Midday Show with Rick and John. We're talking Braves. It's our MLB breakdown, and we're going to keep this as Braves-specific as we possibly can. And, John, I want to take Newcomb's start tonight against Syndergaard and spin it into an analogy.
Okay.
Involving the NBA.
Shocking.
I just said that for these guys to get a little chuckle out of that. All right. So the Philadelphia 76ers tapped out of competitiveness for about 3 or 4 years, loaded up on young guys, and now look at them. 52 wins. They're in the second round, and who knows where they go from here. Mm-hmm. The Sixers trusted the process. We, as Braves fans, trusted the process. We did. I initially bickered and fussed and fought about it, and then I just said, this is it. We're in a long-haul rebuild. Mm-hmm. But now we're back, John. We're finally back in the fast lane. And the Newcomb thing is that, okay, we got all these hotshot young hitters, right, that are doing great, leading the National League in runs. We got to put zeros up on the board for the other team as well to get these wins. So the fact that Fulte is a sub-3 ERA, the fact that Newcomb hasn't, like, unraveled and gotten exploded, he's been solid so far this year. So, John, this is a trust-the-process situation with our Braves. Homegrown guys. And I know Newcomb was acquired in a trade, but then you got him, and he's kind of homegrown and shoots up to the majors. Fulte, homegrown guy. Acuna, Albies, Swanson, Camargo, Minter, Freeman, all homegrown guys and all balling for our squad.
Don't rush the process. Trust the process.
Just stay in the process. Just don't quit.
Trust the process. Trust the process. Trust the process.
You got to trust the process. And now you're starting to see some of the rewards that come from trusting the process, trading for guys, bringing up young players, you know, maybe putting them in the minors a little longer than I wanted. I'm an impatient guy when it comes to baseball players. I think a lot of times players are babied in Major League Baseball. Ooh, we can only allow them to throw 74 innings this year, and next year we'll go up to 76 and two-thirds. If you're a great football player, and I'll go to a football analogy, if you're a first-round pick in football, what do they expect year one?
Starter.
Get your butt out there and produce right now.
Right now.
Not now, but right now. Get out there. Produce. Baseball players, we got to wait 8 years for them to produce. We're going to put them in A-ball, and then we're going to put them in rookie ball, and maybe by year three they'll be in Double-A. Blank that. Get a guy out there and let him produce. And the Braves are getting that because they trusted the process with Ozzie Albies. They didn't hold him down there too long, and now he's one of the best players in baseball. Although I felt they held Ronald Acuna down a little too long, it doesn't matter. He's up now, and he's hitting the cover off the ball. Swanson, maybe they rushed to superstardom, quote-unquote, but a year after struggling, Dansby Swanson looks like a really good big league player. Freddie Freeman's obviously a star. The only thing we haven't seen the fruits of the labor yet, truthfully, is the pitching staff. But Fulte's doing well. Newcomb's doing well. Teron seems to have turned things around. We're just waiting for one of the young guys to be a superstar. Maybe it's Mike Soroka down in AAA Gwinnett, sub-2 ERA, could make an emergency start tomorrow if Julio Teron is unable to go. They push back his start in AAA. But that's all we're waiting for this thing to come together is one of these young arms to be a top-of-the-line ace, and then all of a sudden this Braves team is a legit playoff contender.
I mean, that'd be great, and I'm loving what McCarthy is doing, and kind of a under-the-radar move. He comes over in that trade with the Dodgers, and when he's healthy, mm-hmm. And when he's in the National League, he's a very effective pitcher, and he's been that for us. Now, I want to talk about Sean Newcomb and his splits, mm-hmm. because at home and away, it is two different things. At home this year in two starts, 6.10 ERA, 7 earned runs, that is, in 10.1 innings. On the road, 3.12 ERA in three starts, 17 and a third innings pitched, and only 6 earned runs. And the opposing batting average is just .235 on the road. This is a stark contrast for Sean Newcomb, and we haven't talked much about this. We talk about the home and road splits for Julio Teheran. This is a bit alarming for Sean Newcomb. Now, it's a small sample size, John, but he's got to pick it up at SunTrust Park. It's only 2 starts. We're very early, but he's obviously got to pick it up. But on the flip side, it's very encouraging for tonight's start, John. Mm-hmm. He's on the road at Citi Field in a boiling cauldron of hate in New York City. They love their baseball up there. The Mets are good this year. They are back invested in their team. So they're going to be taunting, and they're going to be yo mama-ing our guys, and it's going to be on Sean Newcomb to do what he did at Colorado 2-3 weeks ago and shut him down with a big-time start, and I think he's up to it.
We had a guy send us a message earlier at 404-741-0929 before we were talking Braves and said, hey, I know this is a little off-topic, but with the Braves' hot start, are you looking for somebody like Manny Machado at the trading deadline? Mind you, Manny Machado right now hitting .361, 9 homers, 22 RBI, a couple of stolen bases, 17 walks, and 108 at-bats. Yes, Manny Machado. But the thing is, if you trade for Manny, you have to have assurances that he is going to sign here long-term, because I believe Machado is a free agent at the end of this year. I would absolutely love to go get a guy like Manny Machado. You're talking 25 years old, a certified star in this league. You're going to have to give up a lot of assets, but could you package 2 or 3 of these young pitchers? Baltimore's clearly in a rebuild. I believe they have 8 wins right now on the season. Yeah, I'd go take a look at a Manny Machado to bring him here at third base. I get it. Camargo's played well, and he might be a young star in the making. Machado's a star today.
He is, but I feel like I want to use another analogy. We are fantasizing about a supermodel that we have no shot of leaving the bar with. Mm-hmm. That's what we're doing right here.
Can't shoot unless you score. Can't score unless you shoot.
Let's say we bundle up. And by the way, we would have to give up an Albies or a Swanson in this deal with a bunch of pitching prospects. Baltimore would be looking to hit the reset button on their entire organization by trading Manny Machado. So there's that. Also, do you think Liberty Media wants to pay Manny Machado $250 million, $300 million over a 10-year deal, which is probably what he's going to be looking for? They're not going to do that. So I love Manny Machado. He would look great at third base for the Braves, but we are lusting about a supermodel we have no shot of getting.
Here's my thing with that, though. I don't know that the price would be that high because of the free agency aspect. Baltimore may want the yard, but they may also look and go, Manny's probably going to leave us for nothing at the end of this year. Other than I think they get compensatory picks. Whoopee. They might take the best deal available. Now, that question becomes, is it a Yankees? Is it a Cubs? Is it somebody along those lines that would be willing to pay more, or a Red Sox, and know that they'd have money to spend on Manny Machado? I'm a swing for the fence guy. If I'm in wild card contention come June or July when the trading deadline comes around, I'm at least making the phone call to see what it's about.
I'm not mad at you, but I'm not. And here's another reason why. We have the best offense in the National League right now with, you know, and by the way, Camargo is a really nice, underrated baseball player. Mm-hmm. He's solid as a rock. He puts the bat on the ball. He comes up in clutch scenarios. I'm fine with Camargo. Offense isn't the problem. I think, as I said yesterday, bridging the fifth inning to the seventh inning is a problem that I have diagnosed. When our guys run out of gas, 97, 99, 101 pitches after 5 1/3 or 5 2/3, we need that guy to come in there. And I don't think that can be Shane Carl. To me, that's a little bit too early in the game for him. He's your seventh inning guy, and Winter's your eighth inning guy, and Vizcaino's your ninth inning guy. We don't really have a sixth inning guy right now. So to me, that's what I want to be a buyer for at the deadline, would be another arm or two in the bullpen. And I've already targeted the guy. It's Amir Garrett, left-handed flamethrower for the Cincinnati Reds. You want to talk about a dying team. I would try to pluck some talent off that roster.
Here's some of the names they've already thrown out, and this is just trading deadline rumor stuff that's out there. No interest. I can't say no interest, but you're probably not trading for JT Realmuto, the Marlins. That's a name that's out there.
I like him, but, I mean, I feel like we're fine at catcher.
Exactly. Mike Moustakas, third baseman of the Royals. No thanks. I don't need that. Here's two guys that you could be interested in, though. Alex Colom, the closer right now for the Tampa Bay Rays. How about Brad Brock from the Baltimore Orioles, another reliever?
I'm a Colomé fan, though. I have him on both of my fantasy teams. I'll say this. That dude's getting rocked this year.
Yeah.
He really is. He's still a flamethrower. He's still getting saves, but, man, it's dirty. I mean, there's base runners on every single time he pitches.
But, again, that could be a guy that doesn't have to come in and be your closer. He comes in and is another power arm in the bullpen. So those are some names to look
at.
Let me ask you this, Rick, and I'll ask Mark the same thing because he does stuff for the Braves. Must-win series this week right now against the Mets? May 1st, 2nd, and 3rd, must-win?
I mean, yeah, but no. I mean, look, it's a battle for first place. If our Braves go up to Citi Field and sweep the Mets, we're in first place by a game and a half. Now, the way it works is a game and a half separation. Let's say we win the first two, okay? Then we're a half game in front, and then the Mets win game three. Then they go a half game back in front. But, M.O., it is the proverbial battle for first place series.
For confidence and early in the season to feel good. Yeah, and you always want to beat the stinking Mets. I don't care when it is. I don't care if we're in last place. And you always want to beat those dirty, stinking
Do you
Mets,
still hate them worse than the Nationals, or the Nationals the most hated team?
As far as play goes, I understand the Nationals because they've challenged more. But as far as NL East teams, nope, I don't like the Mets.
I've got a random doppelganger for you. Look at MLB Network over there. Who does Billy Ripken look like?
Travis Schlenk.
Travis Schlenk of our Atlanta Hawks.
Looks just like Travis
Schlenk. I'm telling you right now, do the doppelganger. Billy Ripken and Travis Schlenk. They look like twin brothers.
Hey, guys, the $1,000 National Signing Bonus Contest returns next week. It'll start on Monday, May the 7th. Tune in for the code word 9 minutes after each hour. Each hour between 7 a.m. and 7 p.m. Monday through Friday. 12 chances to win a day. That means next week we're trying to give away $1,000 every hour in the National Signing Bonus Contest. We take a break. We come back. It's the College Football Cheat Sheet. Whose fit do you like better, Chubb, Michelle, Wynn, or Carter? We talk about that next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Rick and John have the latest news from college football and want to hear from you. 404-741-0929. This is the College Football Cheat Sheet on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
I was so excited for him. You know, I was getting on the plane actually when he, before the second round started, and I just texted him, but it was just, man, I was just so excited for him.
That's Sony Michel. He was on Dukes and Bell talking about Nick Chubb. And I don't share his opinion. I would not have related to Nick Chubb how excited I was about him going to Cleveland. Is it time to fire up the Joakim Noah press conference where he throws Cleveland under the bus? Cleveland is one of my draft losers. John and I are going to talk about that at 12:20 in our NFL Bounce. Hey, Rick and John here. It's our College Football Cheat Sheet. We're going to talk about the fit of these UGA players in the NFL. It's brought to you by R.S. Andrews. Keep cool. Get an R.S. Andrews Precision AC Tune-Up. Another way they make you smile at rsandrews.com.
You said Joakim Noah press conference. That's if anybody could ever find Joakim Noah, because he's probably somewhere right now just spending money that he's stolen from multiple NBA teams.
He's stealing money from the Knicks right now. Oh. They've told him to go home, and they're still paying him. It's a good life.
That's what I'm saying. He ain't doing any press conferences anytime. I know the one you're talking about, though, where he trashed Cleveland.
Does anybody want to go to Cleveland? Do you want to go to vacation in Cleveland?
Didn't.
I mean, it's the best. It's one of the best sound bites ever.
Didn't Joakim Noah lose that series?
I have no idea. He won. Probably. He won my heart.
He wears a ponytail, so he'll never be on my good side.
And a man bun.
Yeah.
He's rocked a man bun for time. So, all right, five Georgia players got drafted. We don't want to talk about Wims, though. Seventh round pick. How does he fit in with Chicago? Who the hell knows? Make the team, okay? But Chubb, Michelle, Wynn, and Carter all are going to be big-time players if given the opportunity for their NFL teams. Chubb to Cleveland. Michelle and Wynn to New England. And Lorenzo Carter to the New York Giants. Of all four of those players, the best fit, talent-wise, team-wise, and is Isaiah Wynn to the New England Patriots to be their left tackle. I think that's the best fit. I don't think the fit is good for Michelle in New England. Too many cooks in the kitchen. And I don't think the fit is good for Chubb. Too many cooks in the kitchen.
I'll be honest, and this is such a cop-out, I like where all of these guys ended up. I do think Sony Michel, with the way New England plays offense, it's perfectly suited for him. He wasn't taken as a first-round pick to get the ball 25 times a game. He's taken to fit into what Deion Lewis did for the New England Patriots, who leaves via free agency. I think Isaiah Wynn is their day one left tackle. Now, is he better suited in the NFL for tackle or guard? We were told for 3.5 months that Isaiah Wynn's a guard when he gets to the NFL. Now he's drafted for New England. He's a left tackle when he gets to the NFL. So I'm sort of conflicted with that. I think Isaiah Wynn absolutely can play at the next level at tackle or guard. But scouts kept telling us he's a guard, which is why Falcon fans, we kept going, all right, Isaiah Wynn could be a guy that we plug in at right guard. Nick Chubb will not be the bell cow this year, but he'll be the bell cow next year. I think Carlos Hyde is 1 year in Cleveland, and then bye-bye. See you later. We've got an out-of-year contract, and then it'll be Nick Chubb, and it'll be Duke Johnson. And Lorenzo Carter, Lord knows, the Giants could use anybody right now on the defensive side. I guess if I had to rank them, Rick, number one for me is probably going to be, just for playing time alone, would be Isaiah Wynn. And he's going to be the guy that probably, if everything goes well for New England, gets 1,000 snaps at left tackle.
Here's my problem with New England taking Sony. Well, I have several problems with New England taking Sony Michel at 31. First of all, why would you spend a first-round pick on a non-bell cow back? Mm-hmm. That doesn't make any sense to me. Now, you would, if you are drafting a guy like Leonard Fournette last year, fourth overall, Ezekiel Elliott, top right. five pick to Dallas, you know that he is going to be the transcendent guy. Barkley to the Giants at number two. You know he's going to be the transcendent guy in your offense, the 20 to 25 touch per game guy who's going to take us from here to there. Zeke did it for Dallas.
Yep.
Fournette clearly did it for Jacksonville last year, especially in the playoffs. And I think Barkley's going to do it for the Giants. Why? And I understand it's 31 and not at the top of the draft, but why would you spend a coveted first-round pick on a guy who's going to be part of a four or five running back rotation? When New England wants to throw the football, are they going to throw to James White?
Maybe.
Or Sony Michel?
Could be either one.
I think it's going to be James White. Now, you've got Sony Michel, I think, will be their first option running the football.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And Sony, by the way, is overrated as a pass catcher. Caught 9 balls last year. So, I'm just saying, James White has been vibing with Brady for like 5 years. Scored the game-winning touchdown in a game I don't want to mention. He's gotten busy with Brady. I just don't see Michel coming in and doing it all. I don't like the fit for Michel in New England. You've got Burkhead. You've got Gillislee. You've got Jeremy Hill. You've got James White. It's too many guys.
I think all of those guys are expendable, and we've seen Bill Belichick do that before. By the way, we didn't mention Roquan Smith because I think that's plug and play for 15 years. Like, literally, Roquan Smith in Chicago is your middle backer for a long, long time.
So would you – I would.
He's number one, and you go that high in the draft – you're going to be the best fit somewhere. And Chicago needs a middle backer. And Roquan, boop, drop him right in there.
And what is the identity of the Bears over the years?
Middle linebacker.
And
Dick Butkus.
Defense.
Yeah, and defense.
And defense.
And Roquan Smith can be all of that.
And so I'm with that, man. But and then the Nick Chubb thing. You know, John's right. Cleveland signs Carlos Hyde to a 3-year, $15 million deal. They do have an escape hatch to hit after 1 year. Maybe they'll hit it. Maybe they won't. But you're a rookie. Mm-hmm. This should be one of the best years of your NFL career, right? I mean, rookie running backs come in and it's not like a ramp-up thing like the wide receivers.
Right.
Usually running backs come in and either you're going to be that 1,000-yard guy off the bat or you're not. And so Chubb is going to be in a rotation. I think it's going to be kind of frustrating for him. Next year, you're right. He might be the bell cow guy, but this year he's going to be in a rotation. I'll tell you right now, I'm not taking Sony Michel in fantasy football. And I'm not taking Nick Chubb in fantasy football.
I don't take a ton of rookies anyway. That's unless they're just hot shot. You know they're going to be a top guy. I've seen with receivers it's been a struggle. And I stayed away from Zeke Elliott, and I was wrong. He was an 1,800-yard back his first year.
I can tell you a couple of – I'm going to be all over Darius Geis with the Washington Redskins. Mm-hmm. He's exactly what they need. Not really sure why he fell that far. He's this year's Dalvin Cook. And Saquon Barkley is, in my opinion, should be a top five fantasy pick. He should be up there with the Zeke Elliotts and the David Johnsons. And I think Saquon Barkley is going to have 1,200 yards, double-digit touchdowns, catch 50 or 60 balls. I think he's going to be amazing as a rookie.
Be interested to see how that plays out, but he's going to get every opportunity because the Giants, let's be honest, that's a bad football team. What do you think Lorenzo Carter does, speaking of the Giants, going into a situation where If you look surface value of what they had a year ago, you thought the Giants should be better defensively, but they were a train wreck.
Don't you, with JPP, Jason Pierre-Paul, being in Tampa Bay, don't you kind of need that edge guy? And I'm not sure if Carter's going to be on the line or an edge rusher from a linebacker spot, but nevertheless, he's a quarterback seeker in your front seven. So, I mean, he kind of fills a need there with JPP going to Tampa, right?
You would think so, opposite of Olivier Vernon, who can still get pressure on the quarterback. But, yeah, the Giants are a team that may have gotten themselves a steal. I can't believe that they were 30th. You're talking about the G-men. They were 30th in the NFL defensively a year ago. They had no teeth.
Now, we know about New York teams that, and they're notorious for this. When New York teams start to slide and go the wrong way, it seems to me like guys check out more than on any other team in any other city. I don't know what it is. I don't know if it's just the media gets to them so much that they just tap out. I don't know. But that's what happened with the Giants last year, John. Florida State, DeAndre Francois goes out. You lose a couple more. They checked out, dude. They were ghost people. I feel like the New York Giants were a ghost team after that one brutal weekend where they lose Beckham, Marshall, Dwayne Harris. So decimated.
Right.
The receiving corps was decimated. I think they were 0-3 maybe at the time. Mm-hmm. And they were like, yo, this is a losing season. I'm checking out. Self-preservation, brand preservation, all that kind of stuff. But I think that those New York Giants are going to be reinvigorated this year, and I think they're going to have a good year.
And Lorenzo Carter will be a stand-up linebacker. They do play a 3-4 there in New York. So there's a guy named Kareem Martin listed ahead of him on the depth chart today. The depth chart on May 1st doesn't matter. I got a feeling by the time the season comes around, Vernon will be at one linebacker spot, Carter will be at the other, and they'll tell those two guys, go get a quarterback. Get him now.
Unfortunately, my favorite band is getting walloped right now in our musical poll.
It is, and you can vote at Rick and John 929. It's our Vision Computers Twitter poll. The musical choice for the week right now, a little surprise, Rick Ross in the lead.
Really?
Rick Ross is in the lead?
Yeah,
George Strait's in second.
Okay.
AC/DC third, and I think your immediate family voted for the Disco Biscuits.
We had like 9%.
I think it was more like 5.
Oh, come on. Why you gotta be shady?
Got to be. Hey, we take a break. We come back. Around the 404 is next. The Falcons release all of the undrafted free agents that they signed. That'll lead us off on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. And make sure you're tuning in on watch929thegame.com.
I don't pay much attention to anybody in Cleveland, honestly. Don't seem to be the sharpest people around, so.
Cleveland is a dirty, grimy, gritty town.
Have a good day.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.